it does is reaches into your brain chemically and locates your happiest memory chemically, and then locks onto that emotion and freezes it chemically, and then it keeps your happy.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to the Selling Out Show, where we screw up life at our leisure for your listening pleasure. I am one of your hosts, David Schultz, and over here by my side is my partner in crime, the master of grime. And yes, he may even stick his feet in some slime, Nate Gorzinski. Nate, how are you?
I'm okay, man. My feet are a little slimy, I'll be honest.
Are they?
Yeah. It's mostly just, it's because of the heat.
The heat. Yeah. Okay. It's yes, we're still dealing with some summertime temperatures. Yeah. Over here, I feel like I should roll up my sleeves like the weatherman and stand in front of a green screen. But we haven't been on air in a little bit. And the reason for that is, in fact, due to Mother Nature.
Yeah, that's true.
Because you were stuck in some stormy weather. Is that not correct?
That's true. Last week, we were going to record this very episode. And we got this hurricane warning. We were watching the news. It was coming up towards us. And a couple days prior, we had actually had flooding in my place because of a rainstorm that was like, you know, heralding the hurricane or tropical storm, whatever it was.
Right.
A few days prior. But then they're like, oh, but then the real hurricane's going to come through. So get prepared. So
yeah, foreplay.
Right. So having just flooded out days prior at my place, I did all this prep work, like digging trenches in my yard, like fucking up my lawn and shit to get the water to like go away from the house that we were about to get. So I didn't have to wet vac my place out again. But the day comes, like after all this prep, and we got a lot of wind and a few branches down, but the rain was really not much. So I guess the storm kind of went west right before it was going to hit us. So I think I'm just going to go with it was the juju of me doing all that prep work actually diverted the storm from its path and possibly saved some lives. You're welcome, everyone.
Yeah, take some credit where it's not due, why don't you?
Yeah, well.
I was going to say maybe you get a PhD in irrigation.
Yeah.
And you're saying, no, I'm out there fucking saving lives, digging ditches. That's what I do. Man. I actually recall I sent you a text to brace for the storm, and I mentioned something about going outside wearing beads and yelling the storm.
Right.
So well, I didn't know if you maybe contemplated trying that.
I didn't have time. I was too busy digging trenches, and whatever it was, maybe it was just the concept. I did do some yelling at the sky and dancing around, so maybe that was – but that could have just been the LSD. I don't know.
Well, that would be a contributing factor indeed.
Right.
You're yelling at the pink elephants to get out of your trenches.
Yeah. How have you been, Dave?
Fuck out of here. I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. I did the unthinkable.
Oh. There's a lot of unthinkable things, so you're going to have to narrow it down.
You gotta really keep in consideration my personality. Because, I mean, if you think about me as a person, it really narrows down what those, you know, unthinkable things could truly be.
Yeah.
But to any of the longtime listeners of our humble little program, you know, Nate is a pet lover.
Nate
loves dogs, cats, camels, humpback whales, whatever. Anything that isn't a human, you love it.
That's true.
However, me, on the other hand, I am not a fan. I don't see the point in owning pets. I sometimes think that we are, in fact, pets ourselves to a Illuminati or something. But there was a night a little while back where I got home from work and there was a little dog running through the parking lot, nearly got hit by a couple cars, came strutting up to my wife, and we looked at the thing. We're like, what do you want? Get the fuck away from me. But it seemed to really be in tune with our chakra. And my wife picked it up. We went door to door. No one knew who the dog belonged to. So we brought it inside. And I discovered the thing was riddled, I say, with emphasis, with fleas.
Ooh, pestilence.
Oh, my God. It was disgusting. I'm looking at it. It's a cute dog. But I look at it. I go, what are these all the black flecks all over it? Oh, Jesus Christ. Oh, no. So I lock it in my son's bathroom. I go to Walmart. I get, like, the flea treatments and stuff. Anyway, in the for a little brevity here, I ended up adopting this dog because we couldn't find the owner. I spent a lot of money cleaning it up. I took it to the vet to make sure it was healthy and in good dog shape.
Mm.
You know, buff dog.
Right on.
Ripped.
Yeah.
Doing curls. That's right. And yeah, so now I am a dog owner.
Wow.
And it's very needy.
Well, Dave, our listeners, longtime listeners, that is, will remember you discussing a dog that you used to have a long time ago, and you weren't such a fan, if I remember correctly.
Yep, you're right. I'm not a fan. That's what I mean. I don't like pets. I don't like people who parade their pets around, getting attention for them, or say they need them for anything. You know, for me, it's just like an extra mouth to feed.
Mm.
But this one happened to land, in effect, on our doorstep, and we felt bad. I guess we could have taken it to the pound or passed the buck.
Taken it to a kill shelter.
Yeah, exactly. Just had it murdered. But no, my son, who's going to be turning 9, he wanted a dog, and the dog is very affectionate. It behaved itself very well, and I figured, what the fuck? And I guess it didn't hurt that I saw something on the news that said dogs will help you live to be 150 years old.
Ooh, ulterior motives.
Yeah. I wanna live forever.
Yes.
Even if I'm like stuck with a weird like lung that someone needs to crank. Ooh. And I have like robotic parts. That's all acceptable, but it'll be thanks to the dog. But yeah, I don't know. So we have the dog now. It's very needy. It just always wants to sit on you and spend time with you, which is annoying. It bothers me.
See, I guess I love that.
You do? I was gonna say if someone was like really old, I get it because you have like no one visits you anymore.
Right.
Your family has forgotten about you. You are worthless. You're about to die. This thing cares about you.
Yeah, man.
But I still have people who love me. So fuck you, dog.
Dude, there are people that at nursing homes where they'll bring dogs in just to cheer people up at the nursing homes. Like they call them therapy dogs. So years ago, I used to train dogs or help train dogs for NEEDS, this group. I forget what the acronym stands for, but it's for dogs that help out people that have whatever disabilities and things. So we'd have to teach them how to turn on light switches and do this. A lot of it was just getting them to answer to commands and whatever. It was a whole process. But if there were a dog that wasn't taking to the training or was kind of stupid or was, you know, old, because an old dog can't learn new tricks, as we all know, then they could still be used as a therapy dog where they'd bring them to a nursing home and cheer up old people. As long as they weren't gonna like bite or jump on everyone, you know, those dogs are just beyond. And we just shoot them like Old Yeller.
Yeah. Glue factory.
Right.
Right there. Yeah, sure. Exactly. Old Yeller. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm going to keep everybody updated and see if my heart changes, if I get warmer and kinder and gentler. I mean, there's been a lot of photo ops. My wife's been taking pictures of the dog sitting on me, so I guess it shows I'm a nice person deep down in there somewhere, I guess. I don't know.
Dogs are great photo fodder. Photo fodder?
Photo fodder. Fiddle faddle. Sure.
Fiddle faddle?
Yeah, and in reference to what you brought up earlier with my last dog, for those who weren't around to hear the story, that dog was a pain in the fucking balls. It was like the most useless fucking dog of all time. Dumb as shit.
Boonga.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, you remember. You remember. But he was untrainable. He would just shit fucking everywhere, chew up all the fucking furniture. I'm like, all right, enough's enough. We knew someone who had plenty of dogs, a big house and yard where they could go roam and have fun. We gave Boonga away to those people, and the fucking dog got hit by a car and killed like a week later. So maybe that weighed in on my decision somewhat with this new one. I don't know. Maybe I was like, well, we got to take it in because we doomed our last dog. We should just let it fucking stay in the house, shit everywhere, and chew on my shoes. It'd still be alive today. Dumb as a bag of rocks, but still alive.
It might have died from trying to ingest a shoe. Maybe you saved yourself the real guilt of like actually causing the death, or maybe you would have, you know, gotten mad at it and Old Yellered it.
Yeah, well, death by aglet. It swallowed like the little plastic end of a shoelace. Yeah. And then I'll have peed up my ass before you fucking know. Oh, yeah. But yeah, I don't know. We'll see how it turns out.
Yeah, man. Speaking of dogs. So,
yes.
As you mentioned, I have a lot of pets. And
you do. You're a nut. You're fucking crazy. You're insane. What's the matter with you?
It is overwhelming at times, but it's more that I am with a woman who cannot help herself from from obtaining new dogs all of the time, or new animals. Now, lately, it's been dogs, but it was horses. We have 3 horses. At one point, we had 5. We're down to 3 horses. We have 2 bunnies. We have 4 cats. And we have 3 dogs at the house. Now, we have 2 dogs, but we have some people staying with us at the moment who have a Chihuahua. And so it adds to the chaos in the house, because we've had a Doberman now for just over 2 years. Callie is our Doberman. And in the beginning, I was fed up with this dog, did not want the dog, because a puppy is frustrating. And, you know, you don't want to be cleaning up all the time, cleaning up poop and pee and having to deal with, like you mentioned, chewing on everything. Puppies are a handful. And I'm glad I found this out before I had a child, because I feel like I would have snapped on a kid at this point.
Oh, my God.
But Callie, at some point, grew old enough, my Doberman, to be an awesome dog who I love. Like, now I can't imagine not having Callie. She's my buddy. But at some point recently, we got a little pug. And the pug's adorable, I'm not going to lie. But the pug is starting to try my patience a little bit.
Oh, you know? No.
Just, it's that same thing that you're mentioning. Like, you can't stop her from chewing on everything. You can't stop. Like, when, it's like, no matter what you do, like, she runs over and she starts chewing on the recliner, like the chair, for some reason. Like, that's how, that's the intelligence level we're dealing with. This but animal is chewing on
furniture. You trained a dog to turn on a fucking light in a room.
Right. You're
telling me you can't stop a pug from chewing on your freaking penny loafers?
I don't know. She's not the brightest dog.
Okay.
But I don't know. She's...
You got a dumb pug.
She's adorable. She's kind of dumb. She, like, runs into walls and things, and she's... I don't know. But again, she chews on the recliner, you move her away, she does everything she can to get right back to that spot and chew on it again. You distract her with something, nope, runs right over. Like, she's single-minded about her idiotic behavior, and I don't know. I guess I just don't have the patience for it. Again, I'm glad I didn't become a parent, but now we have a Chihuahua adding to the chaos. We have 2 tiny dogs constantly. It's when they argue, when they argue, they're not very logical. No. When they fight, when they sound like people talking and you sped up the tape, like that high-pitched sound.
Yeah.
But it's
Alvin
just
and
like,
the Chipmunks Christmas album.
Yeah. But it sounds like if the Chipmunks were like on a PCP hallucination or something, you know,
sure.
It's just like chaos.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it's been chaotic at the house, and with the hurricane thing happening and all this, it's been a handful, Dave. It's been eventful. I'll put it
trying. It definitely is trying. It, you know, you're like Joe Exotic.
Mm.
You get all these fucking animals at your compound.
That's right. I even have a tiger. No, I have a cat that has stripes like a tiger. Is a unique sort of look to it. And I call him my tiger. And yeah, now that you mention it, I am a little bit like Tiger King. I'm less homosexual than Joe Exotic.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, other than that, it kind of syncs up. We line up.
Well, you know, your girl, she's the taker in of all charity cases when it comes to animals. So who knows? Maybe a tiger's on the horizon, a chimpanzee. Right. I don't fucking know. What's the weirdest? A narwhal is going to be in your bathtub.
We have a pet narwhal.
Yeah. Like, where the fuck did this come from? Oh, it didn't have a home. I found it. You know, I don't even know. Where the hell would a narwhal hang out? And a narwhal, it's funny I bring that up because I always thought they were fake.
Nope. They're like unicorns of the sea.
Yeah. It's weird. Like, I'd see one in, like, a movie or something, in an animated movie. I'm like, yeah. And I look at my kid. I'm like, those are all make-believe. And he looks at me, and he's like, no, Dad, those things are fucking real. I'm like, what? I was 40-something years old when I realized a narwhal was a real creature, not something that was, like, hanging out with Zeus and Hercules or something. So, yeah.
The narwhals and the centaurs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, what's next, right? Fucking Pegasus. I don't know. Pegasus, yes. But, you know, I feel kind of weird talking about this sometimes because I am, like, so out there with my feelings on pets. Like, I lay it all on the table.
Right.
Right, really, all the cards are out there, and people must think, what a shitty, despicable fucking human being this guy is, because he is honest and open about his disdain for dogs, and cats, and birds, and whatever the fuck, turtles, I don't care. Yet, I feel like this is an interesting experiment, or it may prove to be, because if you're listening to our show now, and maybe in 2 months from now, I'll be the guy fucking, oh yeah, I bought my dog a cool sweater off Amazon.
Right.
Or I'll be the same attitude, just saying I fucking punted a dog out the goddamn window.
How much is that dog in the window? The one with the waggly tail.
So I like to think of myself as a fun dad, happy dad. I'm not overly strict, and I'm a fairly goofy human being. I also have a firm belief there's a little Weird Al in all of us. And life in itself is just one giant parody account. Mm. But lately in my home, I've been doing voices. Not hearing voices, but doing like voices to try to entertain my child. And one has gotten quite popular. And it's annoying the ever-living shit out of my wife because I was watching an old SNL skit. Let me know if you're familiar with this. If not, just let me keep talking, I suppose.
Okay.
But Chris Kattan played a Southern lawyer who was in court, but no one could understand what the fuck he was saying. Now, I have lived in Texas for a few years, and it came to my attention that we are close to Louisiana. I've only driven through Louisiana maybe once in my life, but for some reason, just goofing around my kid, I started doing a little bit of a weird draw and saying, I'm a Louisiana lawyer. Yeah, please, bro, bitch. And the thing is it's picked up with my son so bad, he's actually trying to figure out what the hell I'm saying when I'm doing this voice, and now he's imitating it around our house.
Oh, that's awesome.
So rather than just say to his mother, oh, I'd like a glass of milk, he'll start off by first proclaiming, I'm a Louisiana lawyer. I'd like a glass of milk. And my wife doesn't know what to do with this. She doesn't know how to process it. And the poor woman, like, English isn't even her first language. I mean, she speaks it fluently, don't get me wrong. But then we start throwing curveballs at her like this, she might think that we're having strokes.
Right.
That there's a problem medically. With either one of us.
Yeah.
Wow. So do you ever like kind of just walk around your house and kind of goof around and do voices at people or think you have a little Mel Blanc style or anything like that? Or is that just me in my household because I am a moron?
Well, I think we all have a little of that in us, Dave, I hope.
Really?
Because I'm always doing that shit. And years ago, it was always like my Marvin the Martian voice at home. Oddly enough, the space modulator, you guys got that one for free. I usually get paid for that. But that sort of thing, you know what I mean? Joey would love it. And and even just the other day, I was telling a story and just kind of like, I didn't even realize I was making a voice. And a friend, one of the people that's staying with us was like, oh, I love the voices you do, man. He's younger, so he's easily impressed, yeah. I guess. But
sure.
But man, I don't even realize I'm doing them half the time. I feel like maybe I'm always using it. But Dave, are we all using voices, playing parts in our lives? Are you playing?
You might just have split personalities. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't realize I'm doing it.
I just like jumping from out from behind a corner and going, are you a crack catfish or you a crow daddy? Louisiana lawyer. That's what I like to do. So if you, I don't know, what kind of story were you telling, if you don't mind me asking?
I think I was just telling a story, like a regular story. And it's one of those things where when you're indicating that the person you're talking to is saying something stupid, you maybe like go, oh, they came back at me with, oh, yeah. You know, it's one of those where I apparently have a good one of those voices. Those
that's usually assigned to people of authority.
Right.
That kind of low, like, oh, and then he said, well, what the fuck are you doing, huh?
You're
like,
hey, I thought I told you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, fuck the police.
That's
fuck,
right, man.
Fuck the police. Said fuck them. Oh,
let's
yeah.
Totally, mock yeah. them. Let's mock those people in authority, Dave.
Oh, totally. Good. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Mock those. I mean, even there's times I just kind of like, you know, I like to make up songs and things right. like that, and that gets me in trouble sometimes, too, so.
Yeah, well.
You know. Maybe I should just cut the shit. I don't know.
I think you're just too honest, Dave. You're one of those people. You're like, I tell people how I feel about animals. Mm. I say fuck the police, and I make voices and sing songs about people that they may find offensive.
Mm.
You know, you're a rebel, Dave.
I am. No denying it, bro.
I'm with
give
you.
Me a badge or something. No, give me a shiny medal. Rebel medal.
Rebel medal?
Yeah, just give me a rebel medal, please. This is the point of the program where I like to thank our partners. Yes, indeedy, Lemon Squeezy. These are great products and companies, and you should be checking them out. Now, we make it even easier because we get some coupon codes. That's right. Hashtag deals. Deals. It's like stealing, Nate. It really is. It's like running out of the store with free shit.
Wow. Call the cops.
Call the popo. First up, we have alpinehemp.com. The CBD revolution has arrived. Now, you could be suffering from a wide range of ailments, or maybe need some better sleep, or just some better techniques to relax. Well, guess what? CBD is there to help. And Alpine Hemp has great prices on these products. So don't wait. Visit alpinehemp.com. We also have northlandvapor.com. Vape juice, baby. I love to vape. I am a former smoker, and I say former because vaping changed my life. It made me feel better, healthier, and Northland Vapor helped me get there. All of their e-liquids are diketone and artificial sweetener free. You may be asking yourself, Dave, why the hell is that important? Because guess what? Big Tobacco ain't telling you what's in their products, but Northland, they care. Now, both of these sites, you can visit them and use coupon code selling out 19 to save 19% off your entire order. Hence what I was saying earlier about running out of the store with that big old discount. Now, last but not least, we have Spunk Lube. Oh, Nate, Spunk Lube. Mm. We talk about it every episode, but what else is there to say?
Really? You can't go for the ride if you can't get inside.
Yes.
I think we came up with a new catchphrase for them, man.
There you go. Put that on a t-shirt, baby.
All right.
Put that on a shirt. They should do that immediately and send you a royalty check. But yeah, Spunk Lube, it's used by professionals in the adult film industry. And now you can have it delivered discreetly to your home. Check them out at spunklube.com today, and you can thank me later. Now, what do you say we hop into some Nate's Notes?
Dust off your LPs. It's time for Nate's Notes.
Last week, I went to my first big show back from the year-plus-long quarantine. I mean, I had gone to see a friend play at a bar a couple weeks ago, and I've played a few shows myself since April at a couple local breweries, but I hadn't gone to, like, a 1,000-plus capacity venue to see a band since everything shut down. It was cool. This band called Between the Buried and Me were playing right at the Palladium in Worcester, which is super close to where I live. I was initially supposed to be going with two friends, but they had to bail last minute. Luckily, I found two other friends who were available and also interested. The thing about Between the Buried and Me, or BTBAM for brevity, the acronym, is that they're not for everyone. They play this complex, nuanced style of metal that really requires an open mind and a bit of patience from the listener. Their songs usually hover around the 8 to 10 minute mark, and they can shift stylistically from super heavy riffs and death metal growling to like jazz fusion or bluegrass or some beautiful piano ballad, and then back to metal. Often they'll shift through several styles and at least a dozen riffs or melodies in one song. Their albums are these big, cohesive concept pieces with repeating motifs and callbacks, and usually a storyline or basic theme running through the whole thing. They're actually reminiscent of classic progressive rock bands like Yes or King Crimson, just in a more metalcore sort of context. On their current tour, BT Bam is foregoing any opening acts, instead doing a tour called An Evening with Between the Buried and Me. First is like an hour and a half set that showcases songs from across their now 20-year career. After that comes a short intermission, followed by a second set in which they play one of their complete albums all the way through. This is pretty awesome, because their songs work best when heard in the context of the complete record. The first half of the show, while still great, was a lot less satisfying than hearing them showcase their full creative potential in the latter half. The album they performed, The Great Misdirect, is 10 years old, and it's a fan favorite, so for many of us, this is a great tour to attend. The Great Misdirect is actually the first record of theirs that came out after I discovered them all those years ago. It's their fifth record, but I had only just been introduced to them a year or so prior to its release. It's like the first thing they put out that I was actively anticipating, so it has some special meaning to me. Back in 2008, 2009, I was in a halfway house for parolees. It was the first really happy, peaceful time in my life in about a decade of active addiction. I met a lot of great people there, from the staff to the other residents, to all these people who would come and volunteer at the house, cooking meals and just getting to know us. Some of these were church groups. Some just families who wanted to be kind and helpful. This one family, the Sullivans, would come cook and eat with us a few times a month. They were that awesome type of family who seemed really wholesome, but they had no issue with the kind of conversations that invariably took place at a dinner table full of ex-cons. The younger son, who was maybe 17 at the time, was into a lot of cool music, and we would often talk about different bands. I had spent the last several years either locked up or on the streets hustling, so my references were a little dated. I once told him how I liked Mr. Bungle and the Mars Volta, two bands that have fairly schizophrenic song structures. He asked me, "Have you ever listened to Between the Buried and Me? Their most recent two records will blow your mind." I confessed that I didn't know them. And the next time the Sullivans came by, he brought me two burned CDs of those two most recent albums, Alaska and Colors. I'll admit that it took me a while to get what they were doing, but there's only so much to do at a halfway house, and the internet was very limited back then, so I voraciously consumed any new CDs I managed to get my hands on. It wasn't long before I was obsessed with getting lost in their meandering song structures and weird tempos. Every song was like a journey. The Great Misdirect came out not long after that. And now, all this time later, I've become a huge fan of their work. And it's just gotten more polished and perfected as they've gotten older. So yeah, not a bad group to herald the beginning of my return to concerts. The two guys I ended up going with are both working guitarists who have played their share of live gigs themselves. They're both scholars of the guitar. One teaches lessons, and the other works on the instruments themselves. The reason I mention this is that it was good to be at this show with a couple guys who understand just how hard it is to pull off what BT Bam do. I mean, anyone could be blown away by their performance. But if you really know how complex and difficult their music is, it's that much crazier to see them do it live so seamlessly. So yeah, great show. Super happy I got to see them. I hope there will be lots more shows in my future, as long as the world doesn't shut down again, and as long as it's fairly safe to attend public events. At this rate, who really knows? But I'm trying to be optimistic.
Yep, fuck that. No way in hell you will get me to go to a live show. No, thank you. Uh-uh. Pass. Hard pass.
Yeah, man, you've said that sort of thing before about, like, at this age, you definitely are all set with going to live shows, even before the pandemic, even before all that shit. It's just, you had said if the Flaming Lips, which is a band that you've always loved, they were playing like down the road from your house, like not far from your house. And you were like, nope, I'm all set. I remember that.
Yeah. I don't want to park. I don't have to park the car and get stuck in the traffic. No, thank you. I mean, I'm in this like thing right now with movies. I see these films being advertised that I know are coming out, and they only in theaters. And I go, oh, why? Why? I mean, I pay for all these streaming services, and I'd be even willing to pay a premium, for example, like Disney Plus does, to watch these films at home. And this is something I've wanted for years. This happened when I first had a kid. I was like, they should have a streaming service that releases new films so young parents do not have to find a babysitter and do this and go through the pains of just having a nice night out. And now it's here. It's arrived, understandably, for shitty reasons because of fucking pandemics and variants and everything else. But this is what I want. This is it, man. And then when you talk about shows, I just don't want to be around all those people.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with about breathing in their crappy air and getting sick. It's just, I don't know you. Why do I want to be this close to you anyway?
Yeah, man.
Who are you?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. And I mean, it's more for the health reasons. But the first two people that I was supposed to go with, I mentioned how I ended up finding two replacements to go with me. The first two backed out because of the Delta variant and how everything's just like, I guess in Worcester, it was starting to get a little, you know, out of control. Not as bad as it is in Texas, I imagine, but.
Oh God.
But
yes.
But in Worcester, the thing is, I mean, I'm vaccinated. Everybody in my household is vaccinated. Everybody I really know is vaccinated. So I felt a little more safe. The people that were going to go, they have like a child in the house that's too young to get the vaccine. Plus one of them has, you know, some health issues where they may feel less comfortable being exposed to, you know, whatever it is, they felt unsafe because of that. And so it was this mad dash to like, shit, it was like the day before the show and I'd been looking forward to it, and all of a sudden they're backing out. I'm like, fuck. And I found two people to go because I didn't even have a ride. That was the main issue. All of a sudden I'm like, shit, you know, not only am I losing my two friends that were going to the show with me, but they were my ride. And like, so I told some friends, you know, look, if you want to come see this band, and they happen to be, it ended up being two guys that, like I said, they're working musicians. They play guitar. They study the guitar. They know what it's like to play a live show and to make everything click on stage. And this band is like, so many pieces have to fit together just right for it to sound right. Like it's so much chaos and like, but organized, you know, and like I said, going from weird jazz tempos to like death metal speed to like weird like folk music to like all this shit. But they do it so seamlessly and it's great. And it was nice to go with people who are like, wow, you know, I know how hard that would be. So
it's one thing to do it in the studio. It's another thing to actually be able to perform that in a live setting.
Exactly, man. You
know. Which is a rare thing, I think, nowadays. The more and more I realize, like, a lot of these younger acts go into the studio. They use all this equipment. They use all this technology. But then when it comes to, oh, they have, like, someone else perform on their track.
Right.
And then, like, when it comes to being a live performance, they don't have that person there. So they're playing, you know, it's like a
recording.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And everything else. You're like, well, what the fuck? All the magic happened in the studio when you had all the tools, dickhead.
Right. But I'll be honest, man. It's two different art forms. You know, there's studios and how much fun that can be. And if you want, you can just record something not worrying if you can do it live. And that's its own art form. It's like a composer, somebody that composes something. And it's just like, look at this piece of art, just like a painting. Like you may not be able to recreate that painting live, but it's cool to look at. So this album, it is what it is, but maybe it's like, I don't know. The cool thing was this band, Between the Buried and Me, have these crazy albums and they did that whole album live. Since their albums are such concept pieces and like concept albums, whatever, they will occasionally go, okay, this tour, we're doing this album, this tour, we're doing this album. And yeah, it's so cool to see that. Cause it'd be like, I don't know. I don't even know if, I don't know. I guess Pink Floyd's probably done the whole Wall, you know, live, or Dark Side of the Moon live, I would imagine, but it's that sort of thing where it's a storyline, weird psychedelic music, different movements, like the Wall, like Dark Side of the Moon, you know? So yeah, it was nice to see that complete piece. And as I mentioned, it had a special place in my heart, that album. Just, but yeah, man, I don't know. I am hoping that shows will continue to be open, but it sounds like, I heard Nine Inch Nails just canceled any upcoming dates they have for the foreseeable future because things are just getting crazy again. Things are getting out of hand. So I don't know, but
I wonder.
Yeah.
Now, I know you have experience with this. Is, you remember back in the day, you'd be at a show, the music is rocking and pumping. You look over, you see some dude who looks like he just got face fucked by a grizzly bear, and he just passes you this like ratty looking ass fucking joint. And you just be like, oh, cool, man, weed. Yeah. And you take it and you'd hit it and pass it on and go throughout the crowd. Are those days officially over?
They are for me. know?
Okay.
Like, I didn't see any of that going on. I smelled some weed at one point, but and here's another thing. Like, I wasn't in that huge crowd, like, up front. It was a theater. You've been to the Palladium in Worcester. It's the floor is just like any place where you're all standing shoulder to shoulder, mosh pits, whatever. It's this whole thing. But we were up on the balcony, like the mezzanine, and had seats, and there was space between us and other people. So that was another thing. Like, I felt safer being in that sort of environment rather than being crushed up front with all the people, you know?
Right.
I smelled some pot, but I wasn't going to take a hit if someone passed it. I feel like everyone is bringing their own vapes inside. Like, I don't even know why you smell pot in a place anymore. Just bring a vape. You know what I mean? Nobody smells it, but it is what it is.
Well, those were the good old days, weren't they? You just see some like woman who fucking pulled a gibber out of her bra.
Right.
You're like, oh, cool. Someone's got some dope. Yeah. So, yeah. I hope they're over with. I mean, I don't know who would happily accept that. But hey, I don't know. Concerts, like I said, it's been many years since I've even been to one. So the etiquette may have changed. And now with the whole coronavirus thing, who knows? And then you talking about bands playing full albums. I know, and I'm sure you've heard of, Primus is on the road now.
Right.
Playing a Farewell to Kings.
Right, by Rush.
By Rush. Yeah. So that seems to be a theme that's gotten some steam.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's cool to see. I mean, I feel like in the days of the pandemic where I've mentioned on this show before, there were so many online performances and whatnot, like bands found ways to keep fans happy and to still hopefully generate some income, just performing shows online and doing it from home and Zoom and this whole new world. And I don't know. It's like you would see things like that because it was so easy for them to put on a show. Like all you had to do was hook up to the internet and, you know, whatever. It was very easy. It wasn't like moving all your equipment to each, you know, on a tour bus everywhere. So bands would do that sort of thing. They'd be like, hey, what the hell? Let's just do a whole album, please the fans, like one of our old classic albums. And, you know, I saw that kind of a lot, to be honest with you, over the last year. And that was cool. And now that things are opening up again, I mean, Between the Buried and Me are one of those bands, as I mentioned, they do that fairly regularly because their albums are concept pieces. But I even saw other bands doing a lot of that over the last year. And it's cool because I'm an album person. I'm the type of person that, yeah, a single's cool or a song. I have favorite songs. But really, I love when a band puts effort into making an album like a cohesive thing. Or it doesn't necessarily have to have a whole storyline or connective lyrics, but just put some thought into the flow of it. You know, it starts like this, then there's a lull, like a little further on, a mellow song, and then it gets some energy, but, you know, a little bit of thought into it. And like, you know, a powerful closer to the album, a powerful last song that like makes you go, yeah, you know, at the end, when you turn it off, you're like, wow, man, that was a powerful ending. And that's one of the things that band Between the Buried and Me does. They have very powerful closers all the time. So it was cool.
I just always consider the desire for live entertainment a young person's game.
Mm.
I like to think of everything like porn.
Mm-hmm.
Because you watch porn, right? But no one ever goes, well, geez, it'd be so much better if I was there. Well, maybe they do think that. But still, there's never an opportunity for people to go, oh, well, I'm going to go see this porn star perform live.
Mm-hmm.
You get
people
to watch
go to
that
see strippers,
on,
though.
Yeah, well, I guess maybe. Maybe you're upending my argument here.
Well, I don't. I'm with you. Like, I, you know, I wouldn't want to be there. It's like, that's the point of porn. It's a voyeuristic thing.
Yes, know? Right. Well, then, and, you know, you want to enjoy something in the privacy of your own home. You don't, you know. Right. So for me, that's way more appealing.
Right. Right. Especially if you want to masturbate to a record.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's hard to right. do that at a live setting. Without getting in trouble.
Well, yeah. Who knows? It might be welcomed. We don't know what kind of venues you're visiting. But that's yeah, true. You know, it's just, I don't know, man. I'm at the point where it's just like, I'd rather just do everything at home. Right. Everything at home is fine by me. I don't care. I all my entertainment, that is, I'd rather do at home. I mean, listen, there's certain things that you can't avoid. Like if you wanted to go to, I know, for example, like Jurassic Park or Jurassic World has this interactive dinosaur experience. If you watch it on TV, it does you no good. You want to go there and see the animatronics and fucking get freaked out or something. I understand all that.
Yeah.
But I mean, when it comes to watching a band play or seeing a movie or watching a girl gaggle on a fucking bunch of cocks, I can do that on my cell phone or on my smart TV.
Yeah. I don't know. It's still... As much as that's becoming the norm, I still get creeped out when I hear things like, now you don't even have to leave the house to do this, or now you don't even have to leave the house to shop for this, or now you don't, because it's like, I don't know, like I'm starting to get to the point where if I stay inside all day, I feel like a piece of shit, and I feel uncomfortable, and I almost feel like anxious and shit. I don't know, it's weird.
No, I hear you. No, I hear you, but that's why like I go to a park. And I'll walk around with my family. Like, for me, that's when we go out because, again, back to the health reasons, you're not crammed next to anybody. You're not in a room or anything else. You're free to roam and enjoy the beauty that is our world.
Sure.
Yeah. And also, again, it keeps you from getting anxious or anxiety or feeling claustrophobic. I'm just kind of staying strictly to the world of entertainment here.
Okay, I got you.
You know what I mean? I don't ever want to go to a movie theater again. I really don't want to at all. And fucking, I don't know. And I was even trying to like, I'm not a smart guy. I am pretty dumb. But I was like trying to think of, okay, well, how much, for example, does Disney lose money-wise if I don't have to go to a theater to see this movie? Aren't they making more money by charging me a base rate of, say, $30? Because what if I go see the movie and it's a matinee? So I'm only paying, whatever, $6 a ticket. And then they get a percentage of that has to go to the movie theater. And then all the other money is going to concessions anyway. So how much is the movie production company really making off my ticket? But if I just give them, boom, it's $30. I mean, I got no friends. So I'm not inviting like 20 people over to watch the movie. I'm not pirating the thing.
Right.
So aren't they actually making out?
I don't know. I always thought it was the opposite. And I thought, because tickets now are so expensive. And yeah, you can go to a matinee for cheaper. But if you pay the base $30, whatever, for that premium access, that's just a one-time shot. After you've seen two or three movies, it seems like they'd be missing out, like they're losing money after however many movies, if you watch a bunch of them. And actually, Scarlett Johansson is in that lawsuit with Disney. You saw that?
Yes.
About how the rest of the Avengers movies all got these big theatrical releases and were able to make so much money because the ticket prices are so expensive. And now it's thrown all off just for her movie specifically. And I mean, yeah, she's kind of a victim of circumstance. It's not like anyone targeted her for it, but she does have an argument, you know. It is kind of like, oh, it sucks, you know, like, but I don't know if that's grounds for a lawsuit. I mean, you know, you got to make do with what's happening. You got to kind of deal with it. At least the movie came out, you know.
Yeah, I don't know the specifics of that. Like, if it was her contract and it was like she got a percentage of the sales, I don't know. Because that's the only thing that would make sense to me, and I'm not well read on it.
Yeah.
Because yeah, otherwise,
we talk out our ass a lot.
Of course, our ass is our favorite mouthpiece. But the thing is like, when you see that just on the surface at all, it makes me think of like Metallica versus Napster or something.
Right.
Where you got these multi-millionaire billionaires saying, hey, whoa, 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 whoa. And yeah. you're like, well, you're still making money off something. No. I'm not making my full fucking amount off of this. I know people are suffering out there in the world, but I got to get me mines.
Yes.
And I know that's not the full deal. I understand that, you know, but at the same time, I mean, that's the initial thought.
Sure. I mean, yeah, it does seem a little tone deaf. You know, it seems a little like, if at face value anyway, it seems a little like, yeah. you know, yeah, that doesn't look great. But at the same time, it's also the whole, you know, well, she's a woman. She's only like the second woman lead character in the Avengers to get a movie. And mm-hmm. is it, you know, that's not fair to, you know, I'm as liberal as they come, but it seems like there are people that are kind of latching on to that. Like, it's like not fair to the woman when it's, that's not the point. You know, it's like, it was, that's just, I don't know, again, that's collateral damage that's happening because of this pandemic. It's not like someone's like, ah, it's just the woman's movie. We're just going to put it out on this. Like, you know what I mean? If they could, they would have capitalized like they did with Captain Marvel. It was like, it's the first female led, you know, it's very important to have those things, but at the same time, it seems like, I don't know, there are people that latch on to things and kind of make too big of a deal out of them with that.
I tell you what, yeah. I would love to be her litigator.
Oh, yeah.
I'd be the Louisiana lawyer for Scarlett Johansson.
Callback. Callback.
Oh, yeah. Are you a crawfish or a crawdaddy, Scarlett? You like my bolo tie?
You're calling it way back to the 90s.
Way, way back. Yeah, but the thing, I don't know, man. This fucking news. Don't even get me started on news.
I know.
News bothers me. I don't know what the fuck. I was watching TV the other day, and there was a commercial, and it was for a news show on the local channel called Verified. And it said, you watch news all day, but we're here to tell you if what you've heard is real. And they, like, we fact check this and that. And I go, what the fuck is the point of the news anymore if now I need a separate show to tell me if I just watched was legitimate?
Right, right.
Like, what the fuck is the matter with the world? This misinformation campaign is one of the greatest successes
right.
I've ever seen. If we had put half the effort we did into misinformation, imagine the things that we could accomplish as a race, as a species, as a culture, as everything.
Right.
But we don't.
Right. There's too much money to be made in misinformation and too much power to be gotten, no matter who it's from. I mean, that's not a partisan thing. It's just, it is what it is. Like, if you can somehow get people to spend their money or get people to vote for you or whatever it is, and it takes you kind of bending the truth or, in this day and age, completely making shit up, like, yeah. And the problem is there's enough of that going on where everyone's starting to doubt what's real, and it's making things so muddy. And a lot of it is, yes, the problem with the internet and how accessible it is, everyone can access the bullshit. Like, you, if you want to spread some bullshit and you do a good enough production on your video or your whatever you're putting together, like, it will get believed by enough people where all of a sudden, yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's just too easy to confuse some asshole producing a video at home with a verified news piece or whatever. You know, it's, if you create enough distrust, you can just make, I don't know, you can, I don't even know what the end game is. Yeah. Like, what's the point? Like, what,
you get yourself
fuck?
All twisted up like a pretzel there, yeah. buddy. I mean, you just say it. We fucked up the internet. We really yeah. did. We yeah. fucked it up.
Yeah. Well, the key is to cause that kind of distrust and then convince people that you're the only one that has the truth. That's the end game, is just to get people to believe that yours is the right one. And, you know, that's the game. If you can do that, man, you're good.
Our podcast is the only podcast that matters.
That's right.
The Selling Out Show is the only place you should be getting podcast entertainment from.
That's right.
And if anybody else says otherwise, they're full of shit. And yes, we talk out of our ass.
Yep.
But if anybody else says something different, lies.
That's right.
Yeah, that's all it is, man. I'm telling you, fucking it. Well, you know, to get off of that.
Yeah, because we could spend all day on that.
And we probably will. You know, I'm glad you enjoyed your show. I'm glad you didn't get sick from going to your show, because you are, in fact, fully vaccinated.
That's right.
To which everybody should really go out and do. I don't care about your arguments. All I know is this, is if you're angry that you have to wear a mask now, it's your fault.
Yeah, blame the unvaccinated.
It's going to get worse. So if you're like, a mask is a big deal, like asking someone to put on a mask is the equivalent of putting barbed wire on your genitals. Well, guess what? In probably 6 months' time, you're going to have to wear a fucking biohazard suit because your ass refused to get vaccinated, and you're going to fuck it up for everybody else. Yeah. So, I mean, there's so many common sense arguments out there on the internet that are being ignored, safety reasons, or even to kind of like quell anybody's doubts on why they should get something they're not really sure what it is put inside their body. I mean, just fucking be a decent person, you cocksucker.
I know.
Go get fucking vaccinated. Stop making life shitty for everybody else. Right. And that applies to many other things, too. Stop being a fucking dickbag, whatever it may be. Don't cut off that guy in traffic.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Yeah. At least until the kids can get their vaccinations, the ones that haven't been able to yet. Once everyone's available and they can get the ones they want, like, the ones who want it can get it. After a while, it's like, the hospitals are just starting to get fed up and be like, look, if you can't, like right now, the kids still are a risk because they're not in control of whether they can be vaccinated or not. But the ones that are choosing to not vaccinate themselves are, I don't know. It's once everyone's vaccinated that wants to be, it's kind of like, all right, you guys, you know, like the problem is then it fills up the hospitals though. You know what I mean?
Well, like, and then the virus just feeds off the people who didn't get vaccinated and goes, I know how to get stronger now.
Right. Mutates.
I'm going to mutate. So fuck your vaccines. And I mean, I shouldn't even talk sometimes because it was many years. I was like, I'm not going to get a flu shot.
Yeah. Yeah. I never got a flu shot either.
The last person on earth will be me and a bunch of cockroaches. Fuck the flu shot. And then now, as with everything, with time, with age, with getting wiser and hopefully a little bit more compassion, you start realizing, what the fuck was I thinking? So, yeah, well,
I don't know.
You know. So, yeah. But anyway, I think that does it for our show today. What do you say, Nate? You got anything else you'd like to add before we hit zeroed?
No, I was just going to say, yeah, man, we're winding down and we're getting into these topics that are like, we could just go on and on.
We should have started the show with this shit. What were we thinking?
No, let's spare our listeners that have probably heard us talk about this shit constantly, like this pandemic. Yeah,
they know the format of this show. Yeah. They're like, these guys don't use scripts, man. They just free ball.
Yeah.
And then by the end of the show, they get so goddamn angry.
Yeah.
They're in the weeds.
Right. So, just don't go and kick your dog.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't kick a stranger's dog. Please don't
kick any dogs.
No. But I want to thank each and every one of you for taking the time to tune in today. Virtual hugs for everyone. I am Dave. That is Nate. And this has been The Selling Out Show.
Peace. Wake up, you devil.